We have just marked Christopher Columbus Day, the holiday, or what some states recognize as Indigenous Peoples Day. We decided it was worth circling back to share what we discovered at a recent powwow festival that took place at Magic Island at Alamoana Beach Park earlier this month. The Oahu Intertribal Council brought together scores of Indian tribes to share culture and to share stories. The annual powwow started 45 years ago. It's been largely a cultural event featuring representatives from various American Indian reservations and Indian nations. This year, it took the step of putting a political issue front and center. Earlier this summer, Congress took up a bill to draw attention to missing and murdered Native American girls and women. Across the country, some say there are more than 5,000 victims whose assailants have not been brought to justice. Rosanna Prieto, whose family started the first powwow gathering in Hawaii decades ago, talked with us about the pictures and the posters of those Native women who were displayed prominently at Alamoana Beach Park.
So this year we're honoring missing and murdered Indigenous women, so MMIW. It's an epidemic within Native American communities across the nation, North and South America. And so right now we're fundraising for MMIW USA. The original organization started in Canada. And so MMIW USA is based in Portland, Oregon, and that's the sister organization to the one in Canada. And so as a committee, Oahu Intertribal Council wants to support the work that they're doing. If you see those poster boards, they're filled with current flyers of girls missing right now. So we just made these posters maybe like a week ago, and these are current missing girls. So it's an epidemic of murdered and missing Indigenous women in our communities. There's a lot of different reasons for that, but Native American women are 10 to 12 times more likely to experience sexual violence in their lifetimes than the national average.
Why is that?
A lot of different complexities. One being that tribal authorities have no jurisdiction over people who are not from the reservation. Another being either pipelines or mining companies setting up their operations nearby reservations, and reservations are pretty isolated oftentimes, and so it just makes Native girls easier targets, because one, they're isolated, and if you're setting up a construction site nearby the reservation, you're also isolated, and it's mostly transient men. And if a tribal authority has no jurisdiction over those men also, it just kind of contributes to this climate where people can assault and commit violence against Native women and not have any accountability for that. Whatever we can do, that little drop in the bucket of how we can stand together and support, it really is a sad crisis in our communities that we're facing. So, it's ongoing right now. We have people from all over. We have people from Canada, Wisconsin, the Northeast, and New York. So we really, the nations represented here really reflect all over, the world over.
So tell us about how long the council has been around and how it got organized.
Okay, so the original organization was called H. Kane and IPA. So IPA, American Indian Powwow Association, and H. Kane, Hawaiian Association of American Indian Nations. So they started back in the 70s. So my tutu was one of the founders with her and her friends. And so they just started as like a group of girls at Ke'ehi Lagoon, barbecuing and things like that. And so it grew into these committees and organizations and nonprofits that wanted to have a gathering space for Native Americans here in Hawaii to get together, share cultures, potluck, barbecue, and, you know, share traditions and preserve their culture. A lot of my family, the Native American side, comes from the military that was stationed here several generations ago. So Native Americans have the highest per capita active enlisted rates in the country. So we have a small population, but a large portion of our population is active military. So that's why there's a lot of Native Americans in the military. And of course, you know, if they're stationed here, they're far away from home, there's no place for them to gather and have that cultural support. So that's really how the organizations were formed and grew into a powwow. Powwows are gatherings that happen all over in different tribes. So that was something that was, you know, grew here or kind of organically.
And so is there a particular tribe that your tutu is from?
Yes, so we are Oto Mizura or Jewere Nudachi from Oklahoma. We're originally from the Great Lakes area, and our migration pattern was from the Great Lakes to Nebraska, and then forced relocation put us in Oklahoma, where our reservation is today. We're a very small tribe, about 3,000 registered members. The last full blood Oto Mizura passed away a couple years ago, so we do what we can to maintain our tribal traditions and cultures. One way our family does that is through participating and organizing and coordinating this event. So our family's been around since the beginning. So we welcome, you know, it's kind of a mix. We have that Native Hawaiian, Native American, so we kind of find the balance between, you know, bringing all these cultures together from different parts of the U.S. and here in Hawaii and kind of share that space to continue all of our traditions.
That was Rosanna Prieto with the Oahu Tribal Intertribal Council. Her cousin, Elsie Whitehorn, who lives in Oklahoma, was on hand for the Hawaii powwow. She recalled that growing up, she heard stories about how two of her relatives were murdered as they tried to hitchhike across the state. That hazy memory now takes on new meaning as part of what some call an epidemic of violence.
Maybe we can create more events along the awareness campaign. I know there's a couple other events that have been taking place for circumstances just like this. I know there was one where they had the Red Sand Project. It's where they had some red sand, and they, in a memoration of those incidents, they spread them out through different cracks, like on the sidewalk or on the road, to represent all of the young women who have fallen through the justice system. And that was a pretty good awareness project that could probably take place more often. And then, of course, they have the Red Dress Project as well, and that brings light to that campaign as well, where the empty red dress represents one of those women who are missing or murdered. It's just really heart feeling to know that you can create relationships from across the lands, across the waters, and knowing that you have support and love and common interests that can create a bond and continue to build family and friends through that.
That was Elsie Whitehorn talking about the need to draw attention to the growing number of unsolved cases of missing and murdered Native American women. The issue was the focus of a movie called Wind River that was released in 2017 in an effort to draw attention to this growing problem.